Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, in the heart he implanteth a song of deliverance, of courage, of strength. In the heart he implanteth a song. This morning we're here to think about wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Do you remember the prophet Isaiah when he was writing? He wrote about Jesus. And listen to these words that he wrote. He said, "For a child will be born unto us, a son will be given unto us, and his name," listen to this, "and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." That's the name. Wonderful, wonderful is the name. You see, Jesus is wonderful. There's no question about it. He's wonderful because he gives deliverance from death, from sin, and death. He is wonderful because, see, he gives courage. Courage to be truthful about ourselves and courage to face whatever circumstances come our way. And he is wonderful because he gives strength. Strength to live for our Heavenly Father. You see, God, through the Lord Jesus, makes it all possible. Yes, through wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Is it any wonder? Is it really any wonder that we have a song in our heart and on our lips to praise him? We enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with what? Praise, because he is wonderful. There is no question about it. You see, wonderful Jesus delivers from sin and death. He delivers from sin and death. Why do I sing about Jesus? Why is he so precious to me? He is my Lord and Savior. Dying, he set me free. Dying, he set me free. Do you want to be able to sing? Do you want to have a song in your heart and on your lips? Then let the Lord Jesus set you free. Set you free. And that's exactly his purpose. Setting us free from our old selfish nature. Our old sinful self. This is exactly why Jesus came into the world. Did you know that? That's why he came into the world. You see, even before his birth, when Joseph was considering, what am I going to do with this woman, Mary? The angel said, "Listen, I got news for you, Joseph." And he gave the great news through the name. For this is what he said to Joseph. He said, "You shall call his name," what? What shall he call his name? Jesus. Remember? Does anyone remember? His name is Jesus. Why? Because he will, what? Save his people from his sin. Now, you knew that, didn't you? Well, sure you did. Well, let's let people know that's why he came. He said his name shall be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. Even Jesus, as he began his ministry of preaching and teaching, he said, "This is my ministry." Listen to what he said. This is found in Matthew. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He said, "To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me," now listen to this, "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are downtrodden." That's the purpose of the Lord Jesus, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Jesus went on to say, as he spoke about the freedom that he offered and provided, he said, "If therefore," the Son, speaking of himself, he said, "therefore, if I set you free, you shall be free indeed. Free indeed. No wonder the hymn writer wrote, free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Yes, he said, now we are free because Christ has paid the price. Christ made it possible that you and I may be free and have a perfect salvation. One that is free. Free to us. Costly to Him. Costly to Him, but free to us. And He sets us free. He sets us free. Listen, you may be thinking this morning, well, I'm not enslaved. I don't live in one of those lands of Africa where the people are oppressed. I don't live in a land where the ruler puts all the force down on us. I don't live in a land like that. And I'm not oppressed by sin. Do you know that Jesus had a word for us? As a matter of fact, listen to the words of Jesus. He said, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Did you hear that? He said, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Now, according to Romans chapter 3, we read that the wages of sin is, does anyone know? Death. That's right. The wages of sin is death. Now, listen to these words as it reads, all have sinned. Now, what does that mean? That means that if all have sinned and the wages of sin is death, then we're all on the same path, right? All on the same path. All have sinned and all will die. Wait a minute, Pastor. I thought you just got through saying it just a few minutes ago that Jesus came to deliver from sin and death. Indeed, I did. Indeed, I did. Because that is precisely what Jesus did. Now listen carefully as I read again the full verse, that is Romans 6:23. He says, for the wages of sin is death. But, I like those conjunctions, don't you? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. True, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus. And that's a wonderful good news about the Lord Jesus. Remember in John 3:16, the verse we like to quote a lot, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Have eternal life. See, God loves you. Now, most of us like the idea of hearing that somebody loves us. Well, I want to tell you, God loves you. He loved you so much that He let Jesus come into the world as a baby, grew up, was humiliated, crucified, all because He loves you. All because He loves you and wants to give you life eternal. You see, we must receive Jesus into our hearts. If we're going to have that life eternal, and if we're going to have the abundant joy today and life beyond the grave, we must receive wonderful Jesus into our hearts. You see, I promise you, if you will receive Christ, truly believe and accept Him in your heart, you will not be disappointed. That's what the Scripture said. You will not be disappointed. Rather, you will be singing, redeemed, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Yes, you will be proclaiming, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. Yes, you'll have a song in your heart and on your lips when you let Jesus come into your heart. You've got to open up and let Him come in. You see, just imagine. It says if we receive Him as our Savior, that we literally become children of God. That's what we read in the first chapter of John. He said, for as many as receive Him, to them He gives the right. Listen to that. The right to become the children of God. Can you imagine that? That if you will open your heart, repent of your sin, and accept His great salvation, you become a child of God. Now that's a mind-boggling, isn't it? That you could be the child of the Creator of the universe. And that's what the Bible says. A child. And listen, we're a child forever. A child of God forever and ever and ever. No end. You see, wonderful Jesus delivers from sin and death. And also, He gives courage to be truthful about ourselves. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in here who's ever been rebellious toward their parents? Okay. How about anybody here been rebellious against their Heavenly Father? See, most of us, maybe I should say all of us, struggle with sin daily, do we not? We struggle with sin daily. We all fall short of living for the glory of God, the good of others, that Christ be known, right? We all fall short. Now think about this for just a minute. Think about it personally. Not about somebody else, but think about it personally. Can you honestly say that all the words of your mouth and all the meditation of your mind and heart are acceptable to God? Can you say that? That is 24 hours a day. Well, most of us sleep a little bit. That all of your, that you say, and all that you do, can you say they come from a pure motive out of your mind and heart? Can you? Can you really say that every word you speak and every action that you do comes from pure motive? Wholesome motives. Can you say that? You know, it takes courage and humility to admit. To admit that often anger, bitterness controls my tongue and my actions. Would you not agree? See, it takes courage to admit that thoughts of immorality, deceit, envy, hate, unforgiveness seem always circling in my mind. Doesn't it? Oh, but we're children of God. Rebellious children often. The truth is, many Christians, children of God, that's what we are. We're children of God. If we have received Christ, we're children of God. Live in denial. Denial and self-deceit. You see, rationalizing. I go to church. I'm a pretty good person. Matter of fact, my behavior is okay. Declaring, I have no sin. I have no sin. You know, as a child of God, I believe this with all my heart. I've been a pastor for half a century. Folks, and I know from personal experience in my own life and in dealing with folks just like you, that many of the children of God are robbed this morning. Robbed of the joy of abundant life. Robbed and have no song to sing. They have no song to sing. And why? It's because of self-centeredness and self-righteousness. See, that's what destroys. That's what Jesus was referring to there in John 10:10. When he said the devil comes to destroy and take away and to kill, he's talking about the joy. But listen, let me tell you something. Wonderful Jesus not only came to deliver from sin and death, he came to restore the joy. Restore the joy and refresh your heart so that you can again sing. Sing. You see, the joy can be restored and the song can be sung again. Would you like to sing the joyful song, Jesus Saved and It's Me? Would you like to sing the joyful song, I have joy, joy, joy down in my heart? Well, you can. You can if you'll just open up your heart. Yes, as a child of God, and let him wash away again. Cleanse you. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. What do I mean? Morning by morning, we come before him and he refreshes our soul. He refreshes our soul. Yes, if we confess our sin, John said, if we confess our sin, he said that Jesus is faithful and just and will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, he was writing to Christians. Did you know that? John was writing to you and me. And he was saying if we would confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all. Would you like to have a cleansing, a clean bath, absolutely pure and holy again? Listen, listen, we must confess and we must repent. You know, I've been thinking about this verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it's an amazing verse because, you know, let me just go back and read the setting here, because you know it was at the time of the temple dedication that Solomon was dedicating the temple, and God spoke to him as he was praying there. And he said to them, he said, then the Lord appeared, this is 2 Chronicles 7:12 and following, he said, then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. And listen to this. He said, if I shut the heavens and there is no rain, if I commit the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence on my people. What he's saying is, if trouble comes, now we don't live in an agricultural society today, but we still live. And so when you just think in terms of the no rain, spiritual drought, the locust devouring your life, plagues touching us. Now listen to what he says. He said, and my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked way. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. You know what I've discovered that you and I want? If I'm sick, I want to be well. If I'm having financial trouble, I want money in the bank. If there's trouble in my house, I want everything settled. That's right. Isn't that the way it is with you? But what did he say? Let's get the first thing first. And he said, if my people humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked way. You know what I discovered that sometimes we do? Lord, I know I made a mistake. And then we kind of think about it. Well, you know, we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. right? Nobody's perfect. I confess it with my lips, but I don't truly turn away from my sin. Does anybody hear me? He said if we turn, and he uses the word wicked, wicked way, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive your sin and heal your land. If we want healing in our heart, in our minds, in our homes, all around us, if we want true healing, we've got to repent. That is, we have to turn away from the very sin that is destroying us and killing us as children of God. And it's the children of God that need revival. We talk about revival in the land and bringing people back, but it is the people of God. Don't let the devil deceive you any longer, telling you, don't worry, you're okay. When all the while, now listen to me, because when we're children of God, I know this to be the fact, all the while God is, your Heavenly Father, is whispering in your ear. He's whispering in your heart, calling you back to His way. And do you know His way is best, don't you? Don't you know His way is best for you? Sure, sure. And He's calling. Let wonderful Jesus restore the joy of your salvation. Isn't that what David said? You know, David committed an atrocious sin. But when God revealed it and he understood it, he said, oh, restore to me, because he had lost the joy. And I want to tell you, sin will take away the joy. But he said, restore the joy. And you see, he will restore your joy. And again, you'll be singing, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. That's the grace we have available through the wonderful Christ who on Calvary died for us. You need strength to live. We need forgiveness. You see, we need deliverance from sin and death. We need the courage to admit that as children of God, we're not perfect, and we definitely need cleansing and forgiveness. And we need strength. And wonderful Jesus provides the strength to live for Him. To live for Him. That's what His promise is. He promises strength to live. Now listen to Paul's testimony found in Romans 4. He said, I know how to get along with humble means. He said, I also know how to live in prosperity. And in every circumstance, I have learned. Now, notice he said this. I have learned. Some people want to jump from kindergarten to a doctor's degree. Don't work that way. He said, I have learned. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And listen to this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, God provides the strength. He does not ask you to live for Him without strength. He provides the strength. He provides the strength. This is possible. How, you may ask? How is it possible? Because Christ is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Did you know that? Did you know if you ask God to give you help and strength, He'll do it? He will. And He's able. And He's willing to provide all you need. All you need to face temptation and to provide everything you have need of. Listen. This morning, you can personally experience deliverance from sin. If you've never come to the cross, if you've never come to the place where you ask Christ to come in and to wash away the filth of the past and given you a brand new life and a new beginning, as a child of God. You can do that this morning. You can experience that deliverance from sin and the promise of eternal life. And today you can also have courage. Courage to say, Lord, I am a sinner. Even though I am your child, I've been rebellious. And you can have the courage this morning to humbly say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I have failed you, but this morning I promise to turn from my sin and to walk in your paths of righteousness. You can do that. You can have the courage. And you know what? You can have the strength today. You can have the strength today to live for Jesus, to live for Him, bring glory to His name, all because you let Him come into your heart. You see, you can truly let Him plant a song in your heart, a song of deliverance, a song of courage, and a song of strength. Great and mighty God, we need that song this morning. And we pray, O God, that your Spirit may lead your people to your throne of grace, forgiveness, and cleansing. Help us, O God, to realize that truly we need you.